Welcome to Marcus Wick Ministries. Get ready to hear God's word and walk in his power through dynamic teaching and prophetic insight. And now, here's Marcus.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm glad that you joined me today on lesson three of this series called Five Introductions That Will Change Your Life. Today, series number three, we're going to talk about Let Me Introduce You to the Bible. I believe that one of the most essential things to growing up in God and to being a powerful, effective disciple, follower of Jesus, is that we need to know our Bible. And in this day and age, we need a revival of the Bible. And there are a lot of people that are not reading the Bible. They're not depending on the Bible. They don't know what the Bible says. And I just want to make you, I want to give you an introduction to the Bible. And I want to impart to you today my love for the Word of God, the Bible, that I discovered when I first got born again. When I got born again in 1985 at Lake Junaluska, North Carolina, the first thing that I did was I stuck my nose in the Bible and I began to read it and read it and read it and read it. And I began to consume the Word of God until it consumed me. And it caused me to grow. It caused me to mature. It brought a stability to my life. Hallelujah. And it just, man, there are just so many benefits to getting into the Word of God. And like I said, what I really want to impart to you right now is a love for the Bible, a love for the Word of God. And when we fall in love with the Word of God, we will consume it until it consumes us, and it will totally, completely has the potential to transform our lives. Hallelujah. If you got your Bible, go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, and we're going to read these verses here, and we're going to see what the Bible says about the Bible. It says right here in verse 1, 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings," and this is where I want to get to, verse 2, "as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Verse 2 is what I want to get after. Look what he says right here. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God." I don't know if you've seen calves or puppies or kittens or even babies, but I'll tell you what, when something is newly born in the world, they crave and they desire the milk of their mother that they can grow until they're able to eat and digest food on their own. And here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter says that when we get born again as newborn babes, we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that we may grow thereby. In other words, a major component to our spiritual growth and our spiritual development, or to yours and mine, is going to be the Word of God. We need to consume the Word of God, and we need to not only consume it, but we need to desire it. Just like a baby needs to be fed 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. They wake up, they cry, they want their mother's milk. They're constantly hungry because they're in this time or this season of their life where they need their mother's milk in order to get the nutrients and the sustenance and in order to get everything that they need to develop and to grow in that time of their life. We as believers, when we are born again, we need to develop or cultivate within us a desire for the sincere milk of the Word of God that we can grow to. And there are a lot of believers right now that just this fundamental truth that what I'm sharing with you right now, they are not getting into the Word of God, and it's showing up in their maturity. It's showing up in their walk with God. Their growth, in a sense, has been stunted because they have not gotten to the Word of God or consumed or developed a hunger and a desire for the Word of God and consumed the Word of God until it's consumed them, until it has consumed them and just really taken over their heart and their mind. And I don't care where you're at, whether you're a newly born Christian or whether you've been saved for 50 years, where there will never be a time in our life that we will outgrow the necessity for the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, the written word of God. And we need to constantly be cultivating that desire, that hunger within ourselves that compels us to eat the word of God or to consume it until it consumes us so that we may grow. It starts our growth. It sustains our growth. It makes our walk with the Lord sustainable. It stops us from being deceived, from being tossed to and fro by every idea and philosophy that men and devils get. Hallelujah. There are doctrines of devils and doctrines of men. But through the word of God, we're able to discern what is right and wrong, up and down, black and white. And it will cause us to grow like we've never grown before if we will consume it. Hallelujah. If we will eat it, and if we will deliberately, intentionally cultivate a relationship with the Bible, hallelujah, with God through the word of God, hallelujah, or the Bible, hallelujah. And I think that's very important. And I mean, that verse is just powerful. It says so much. Also, I want you to, if you got your Bibles with you, let's go to John chapter 8, verse 30 through 32. And again, this is, let me introduce you to the Bible. And it says right here in verse 30, it says in John 8, 30, it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. We could say this, Jesus spake some words and there were new believers, new converts. And this is the first advice or direction that Jesus is giving these new believers. And I think it applies not only to new believers, but to old believers. Look what he says right here. He says it in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple? Ye are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A lot of times we'll hear this verse quoted. I remember hearing Oprah quote it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But you know what? That's taken out of context. He said this, if you shall continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth. In other words, my word, the Bible, contains truth. And the truth that is revealed in a continuing in my word, and again, notice what he said, if you continue in my words, you are my disciples indeed. In other words, and that word disciple means a person who is disciplined and following Christ. In order to be disciplined and following Christ, we need to continue in the words of Jesus. And as we continue in the words of Jesus, we're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set us free. This is not a casual gazing at the word of God. This is not reading the Bible every once in a while when you feel like it, when you're inspired. This is deliberately, intentionally developing as a disciple, and a new believer, becoming a disciple and developing the discipline of consuming the word of God until it consumes you and I. If we will do that, and this is the first advice in John chapter 8 that Jesus has given new believers, Jews that just newly believed on him, he said, hey, if you want to be my disciple, hallelujah, and know the truth, then you're going to continue in my word and you will know the truth from my word, hallelujah, and the truth that you know will set you free in the name of Jesus and cause you to grow up. So we found in 1 Peter chapter 3 that the word of God will cause us to grow. We find here in John chapter 8 that the Bible will cause us to walk, to discover the truth, cause us to not, and that truth that we discover from the word of God, the words of Jesus, it will set us free. It will bring about liberty in our life that we haven't known. It will break all kinds of bondages off of our life. It will give us healthy relationships. Hallelujah. It will give us a healthy relationship with jobs and people and so much. It does. The word of God has the potential, let me say this, to impact every area of your life. But we got to make a decision to continue in his words, to consume his word until it consumes us, and then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And the Bible is full of the words of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want to give you a couple points. I'm introducing you to the Bible, And I want to give you a couple points when reading the Bible that will set you free. I have to be quite honest with you. When I got born again in Lake Junaluska in 1985, hallelujah, I began to read the Bible. The first thing that I did what every new convert did or was guilty of when I started reading the Bible. I immediately went to the book of Revelation because I wanted to understand end times and eschatology. And, you know, I had just gotten born again and I needed to start in the book of John or the book of James or some area like that that would have really helped me. And I did later on grow up and go to those books. But you know what? When I read the Bible, I had to be honest with you. A lot of it I didn't understand until after I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I am going to give you some keys that I wish I would have had immediately or that I learned later in life that really helped me to gain an understanding or a proper relationship with the Bible in this introduction of the Bible. Hallelujah. The first thing I want to say to you, something that I wish people would have told me when I first got saved, and they did, hallelujah, they got around to it. But I believe that if you remember these guidelines that I'm giving you, I believe that they will really help you have a great relationship with the Bible as you read it. The first thing I want to say is this: look for Jesus. When reading the Bible, look for Jesus. We already said, let me introduce you to Jesus. The Holy Ghost is going to reveal Jesus's words and is going to reveal and give us a revelation of Jesus Christ through the written word of God. In John chapter 8, verse 39 through 40, I want to read these verses. Verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. In other words, the Bible, the scripture, they testify of me. Search them, and if a proper understanding of the Bible, you're going to see Jesus. And you're going to find out that Christ is in you and that you're in Christ if you're born again, if you put your faith in Jesus, and it's going to change your life. And he said, verse 40, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. In other words, what he was doing, what he was saying to the Jews, you follow all of the word of God. You read the Bible in such a way that you think through following the scripture and obeying the scripture that you have life. But they're not giving you life because when you search the scripture or the Bible, you're having an improper relationship with the Bible because you're not looking for me, who is the author of life. The point of the Bible or what the entire Bible is all about, the main theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said this, if you're looking at it like a moral code of conduct, a list of do's and don'ts, and you're not finding Jesus, you won't have life. It won't give you life. But when we read the Bible, we are looking for Jesus. I'm expecting a revelation of Jesus Christ, and a proper relationship to the scripture is when I read the Bible, it will cause me to draw near to Jesus, to put my faith in Jesus. And that kind of relationship with the Bible is going to cause the Bible to be a book of life instead of a book of death. See, when I go and I approach the Bible like it's a list of do's and don'ts, it will kill me. But when I approach the Bible like I'm going to get a revelation of Jesus Christ, and then it turns me to faith in Jesus, that kind of relationship is life-giving. I'm not looking for rules. I'm not looking for regulations. I'm not looking for a moral code of conduct to follow in order to think that I'm going to have a relationship with God or a life, hallelujah, through man-made religion, a list of do's and don'ts. I'm looking for Jesus in the scripture, and Jesus is the author of eternal life. Here's what he's saying here in a nutshell. Read the scriptures. They will testify of me. The scriptures and the Bible will point to me, and the scriptures will cause you to draw near to me, and I will give you life. That is the proper relationship we want to have with the Bible. When we read the Bible, we want to look for Jesus. And if we're not seeing Jesus, hallelujah, then we're not reading the Bible properly. Read the Bible through the lens of Jesus. Look for Jesus. And when we read the Bible through the lens of Jesus, it will cause us to draw near to God, to have a relationship with Him, and hallelujah, it will be life-giving. Hallelujah. Now, here's what I want to say about the Bible. Some other things I want to say about the Bible that will bless you in our introduction of the Bible. Number one was look for Jesus. Number two, the Bible, I'm going to make a statement about the Bible. The Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. The Bible has passed every test and can be trusted 100%. The Bible is historically accurate. In the area of archaeology, it is accurate scientifically, prophetically, etc. The Bible is, it can be trusted. It has been proven. It has been scrutinized. All of the cities that it mentions have been there. All of the prophecies. There are over 300 prophecies spoken by different prophets during various segments of time throughout history. All over 300 and something prophecies concerning Jesus Christ has come to pass, let alone all the other prophecies about nations and times and seasons. They have all come to back, have all come to pass. My whole point in this is the Bible is 100% infallible and inerrant and can be, means without error. It's infallible and without error. And you can put your trust 100%. You can put your trust in the written Word of God. Your Bible is not broke. Now, you might not understand everything. You might not be able to figure everything out immediately. But I'm telling you, it is, you can put your trust 100% in the Bible, the written Word of God. Now, with that being said, here's the third statement about the Bible. The Bible is the final authority on all matters of faith and conduct. I'll say that again. The Bible, for the believer, is the final authority on all matters of faith and conduct. When we want to know what we're supposed to believe, we go to the Bible, faith. When we want to know how we are to conduct ourselves, we go to the Bible. And hallelujah. And if there is a difference between culture, society, somebody else's religion and the Bible, I lay aside what the culture is saying. If there's a contradiction, the culture saying one thing, the Bible saying something else, I go with the Bible. Because the Bible is my guideline. The Bible is my plumb line. The Bible is my compass. The Bible can be 100% true. It is proven. It can be tested. It can be trusted. Hallelujah. And it is the final authority on all manners of faith and conduct. And I lay aside, if there's a contradiction in my personal ideas versus the Bible, with society or anybody else, I always go with the judgment or with what the Bible has said. It is the final authority on all matters of faith and conduct. It can be 100% truth. And that's where I go to find out what I believe, how I am to conduct myself, how I am to act, how I am to behave, and how I am to walk in the newness of this life that you and I have found when we put in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Amen? I want to read this verse, and it can be tested. It can be proven. The Bible is not true because it says it's true. The Bible can be tested, and every time it will pass the test. Psalms 19, verse 7 through 11. I want to read these verses real quick. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord under the Old Covenant, it's talking about, under the New, Old Testament, it's talking about the Word of God. We could say the law of the Lord or the Word of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, it's steadfast, making wise the simple. The statutes, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. God is right. What God says is right is right. What God says is wrong is wrong. You can test it And you'll find out that every time God says something's right, it is really right. And every time God says something is wrong, it is really wrong. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Remember, I said the Bible can be tested. And you'll find out, test them. When God says this is wrong, he's not trying to interrupt, squelch your party, put a wet blanket, be a black cloud in your sunny day. Hallelujah. When he says it's wrong, because it really is wrong. And when he says it's wrong, hallelujah, when he says it's wrong, it's out of bounds. It's because it's going to harm you, although it may bring you pleasure. In the end, what God has called wrong, although it may bring you pleasure, it will destroy your life. Hallelujah. The judgments of the Lord are true, are true and right, altogether righteous. Verse 10, more to be desired are they, the word of God, the commandments of God, than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by the commandments, by the word of God, is thy servant warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. That is amazing. That is a mouthful. And the whole point of that is this. First of all, we said, look for Jesus. Second of all, the Bible can be trusted. And second of all, the third thing we said, the Bible is the final authority on all matters of faith and conduct. And according to Psalms 19, you can test the Bible and you'll find out that the Bible is the truth. It is not true because it says it's true. It is true, and it will pass any test that you will apply to it. And it can be 100% trusted. Therefore, what the Bible says is inbounds, in is in, is out. What the Bible declares is wrong, and right, and I cannot know right or wrong, up or down, backwards, forwards, without the written word of God when it comes to the things pertaining to life and godliness. Hallelujah. I don't have to guess. God has revealed, hallelujah, God has turned on the light, and the word of God is the light that shines in the dark, and we need to take heed to that light until that light gets in us and arises in our hearts like the day star, like the dawning. Revelation knowledge from the word of God is compared to a sunrise. We get into it. Hallelujah. We take heed to the word of God, the more sure word of prophecy, 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe verse 19. And when we take heed to that, it's right around there. When we take heed to that light, it gives us revelation like the sun, like a sunrise. And we take heed to the word of God, the light that shines in the darkness. God turned on the light. And when we take heed to it, we consume it until it consumes us. It will put the light on the inside of us. And that revelation, that day, that sunrise, that revelation will arise. That light will arise in our heart like the dawning of the sun until noonday. But the only difference between a normal sunrise is that the sun normally sets. This kind of sunrise, the sunrise of the revelation of God's word in our heart, is like the sunrise until high noon, and the sun will never set. Amen? But we need to take heed to it. God turned on the light through the word of God, the Bible. God turned on the light, and as we take heed to it and consume it, the light goes from the pages of the Bible into our heart, where we can see clearly and freely and have sound judgment, sound direction for everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Amen? So we said that. The fourth thing I want to say about the word of God. The word of God is the will of God. The word of God is the will of God. If we want to know what God's will is, it's in the Bible. It's in the word of God. The word of God is a revelation of the will of God. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God, if I want to know how I'm supposed to walk, the light has been turned on. I need to follow what the word of God says. It is, again, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words, when your words enter into my heart, gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The Bible in the pages, the Bible in the book, God turned on the light, but the entrance of the word of God into our heart and into our might, it will give us light and it will give us understanding. So the word of God is the will of God. God, here's another point I want to make about the word of God in this introduction. And I'll tell you right now, I don't know about you, you should be getting excited. You should be like, I can't wait till he gets done so I can begin to read the word of God so that God can talk to me and I can hear his voice. God's word is his voice. The Bible is his voice. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, what we are to believe, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's his voice. Hallelujah. And look what he says right here. We get doctrine, what we're supposed to believe, our teaching, proof of what we believe. It shows us the evidence of what we're supposed to believe. It corrects us and gives us instructions on how we are to walk, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'll tell you what, that's a mouthful. Every one of these verses I'm reading to you, you need to go back over these verses and meditate upon them. I can literally teach hours on each verse, but this is an introduction. This is not a complete, thorough, in-depth teaching on the Word of God. It is an introduction to the Bible, not an in-depth teaching on every, I mean, we can literally, there are college courses on the Bible and why we believe the Bible, and we're doing an introduction. And I want to encourage you to go back to these verses that I'm speaking to you and meditate upon them until they become alive to you and you gain understanding. It says right here. Okay. So the next point I want to make about the Bible when reading it. Hallelujah. Major on what the Bible majors on and minor on what the Bible minors on. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to rightly divide the word of truth and not make a major on what the Bible majors on and minor on what the Bible minors on. There are people out there that like to take one little verse about one little, that they like to camp on the fringes and they like questions, but they don't like truth. And I just want to say, a healthy relationship with the Bible is that we need to major on what the Bible majors on and minor on what the Bible minors on and not get bogged down in the fringes and try to get special knowledge about the Word of God and God, hallelujah, that nobody else knows. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, not to go beyond what is written. In other words, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Don't ignore the mountains because you're focused on a molehill. Let's not go beyond what is written. The Bible has everything that you need that pertains unto life and godliness, and a healthy relationship with the Bible is to major on what the Bible majors on and to minor on what the Bible minors on. He said this about the hypocrites, the Jews, hallelujah, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 24. He said, you blind guides. He said, you're a blind guide. He calls them blind. In other words, when you guide people through the Bible, you're blind. And then he says, this is what blinds you, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Can you imagine that? You strain at something minor and then you swallow a whole camel. In other words, you major on the minors, you're blind, hallelujah, and you're completely oblivious and blind to the major things. Major on what the Bible majors on, minor on what the Bible minors on, hallelujah, and you will have a healthy relationship with the Bible, amen. Don't be a blind guide. Don't strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. how to don't forsake what is really what God has a lot to don't forsake truth by hallelujah by dabbling into questions that there are no answers for. There are some things that you're just not going to know until you get to heaven. Amen. And that leads me to the next point. Don't let what you don't know or understand about the Bible keep you from walking in what you do know. Don't let what you don't know stop you from walking in what you do know. You know, it's progressive revelation with the Word of God. There are things that I didn't know when I began later on. I laid them off to the side. And as I grew in God and got more knowledge of God, I begin to discover the things that I laid off to the side that I didn't know, I begin to understand them later. It's kind of like a 1,000-piece puzzle set. Sometimes when you're assembling those puzzles, sometimes it looks like a piece doesn't fit. Well, I don't jam it in and make it fit with what I currently got assembled. If I don't know where that piece fits when I'm assembling a puzzle, I lay it off to the side. And later on, when I get more of the other pieces together, I will discover where that piece fits. When there's a scripture you don't know, you don't understand, just acknowledge that you don't understand it. Lay it off to the side. And as you get more revelation of the Word of God, you will discover, hallelujah, that where that piece fit as you walk with God. But don't let what you don't know stop you from walking in what you do know. That is a problem. And if you'll walk in the truth that you do know and you're faithful with the little, God will make you ruler over much. If you're a good steward to walk in the current revelation of the Word of God that you have, it will cause you to gain more understanding and more revelation. This is about stewardship. And do not let what you don't know stop you from walking in what you do know. Lay it off to the side, and later on, as you walk with God, and the light gets brighter and brighter, you'll discover that truth. But don't sit there and say, I don't understand. I got to know it all. I got to know it all in order before I obey the Bible. No, you don't. And I'll tell you what, just start where you're at. And as you are faithful to steward the revelation of the Bible that God gives you, God will increase it, increase your revelation. And the puzzle that you left off to the side, as you assemble more pieces, hallelujah, you will later discover where it fits. But you got to move on. Hallelujah. You can't get hung up on something that you don't know. It's like questions on a test. If you don't know it, if you're taking a test and you don't have an answer for that, you move on to the other and you answer all the questions on the test that you know. And then later back, when you got more time, you spend, if you got time left over, you spend more time answering the question that you don't know. But if you just camp on that question for hours and hours, you know what's going to happen? You're going to fail the test because you got hung up on a question you didn't know. What you do, you just leave it lay and you come back to it. That way you can score a good grade on that test. Well, in life, when you got a question you don't know and you can't answer it, move on, answer the ones you can't, walk in the knowledge and in the light of the truth that you currently have. And later on, when you come back, you'll get the answer as you grow with God. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you how many times in my walk with God that principle has panned out. I will not let what I don't know stop me from walking in what I do know. And then finally, the last point I want to make about the Word of God. Consume the Word of God, the Bible, until it consumes you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. We read in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire. He said that. You need to desire the milk of the Word of God like a newborn babe craves the milk of its mother. That should be your passion. It should be our passion and our desire for the Bible that you may grow thereby. To love God is to love His Word. May you discover this love as so many others have, whose lives have been completely transformed by the words contained within its cover. I pray right now that you get a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. Hallelujah. I thank you for taking the time to watch this video and allowing me to give you a foundation that can set that if you heard what I said, will give you a proper relationship with the written word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And I'm just excited that your journey has begun. And as you begin to consume the word of God until it consumes you, your life is about to be completely transformed. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed this special teaching from Marcus Wick Ministries. This teaching has been brought to you by the partners of Marcus Wick Ministries. If you are interested in more resources, we encourage you to go to marcuswickministries.com. While there, you will discover a wealth of other valuable resources, as well as upcoming events and how to become a partner. We appreciate your support and would love to hear from you today.